advise you to get off the streets as quickly as possible. It'll soon be a war up there.
And we are, as a people, opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths.
I know for a fact.
And to secret proceedings.
Weapons of mass destruction.
I have a dream.
I take the threat very seriously.
A new world order.
Your government thanks you for your participation.
You are now listening to the world-famous Sofa King Podcast.
Please, read from sheets. I am Sofa King.
Sofa King.
Now repeat all very fast, please.
I am Sofa King.
Faster.
I am Sofa King.
No, not so fast. Loses meaning.
I am Sofa King with me, Todd.
You say funny things.
Are we still doing this? Is it the same podcast as we've been doing?
What were you pointing at when the shit was rolling?
Huh?
When I was trying to drink my whiskey during my little thing?
I was asking, I said I need a pour of that. But
you made my heart hurt, like my fucking heart like jump, like something happened, something went wrong.
No.
And I was trying to drink my thing, then he fucking coughed during the please read from sheets thing. You guys fucked me up hard this time.
The hell are you talking about?
It was all in my head. I know it was all in my head, but lots of things happened during the please read from sheets part where I'm supposed to be drinking. Brad was like trying to communicate something to me, but I was like, no, I'm doing my read from sheets fucking part. Don't talk to me right now. And then you start coughing in the mic. I don't know. It's my own thing.
Okay. So now, speaking of things that might be in your head, I want to hear more about the EVP that you say happened on our show.
Yeah. I can hear it on my house. Not here, though. That sounds even crazy.
It might be.
Well, no, I want to hear it because if somebody else hears it in the same time.
Oh, true.
Frame,
true. Then, yeah, it isn't. I'm like, it's only in the highlight.
If you don't know,
21 minutes of what podcast?
I have to find it. It's in the doping podcast, somewhere around between 20 minutes and 22 minutes.
If you don't know what an EVP is electronic voice phenomenon, and it's what ghost hunters. Like if you see ghost hunters and they're walking around and they tend to have a microphone and they'll be walking around in like a haunted place and they'll say, tell me what your name is.
You don't ever hear it.
Why are you still here? And you ask questions and pause. And then when you play it back, if there's some distortion or weirdness on the video, you try to rewind it and they call it an EVP.
And they really stretch to make it
It's always fucking bullshit.
Yeah.
Brent's
wife is a ghost hunter and she said it was an EVP.
Yeah.
So
what was your
what was the noise?
It went, oh, you could taco. Yeah. I was like, that's weird.
Jesus Christ.
I was like, our influence spanned the fucking the universe to the ghost
world.
We're even influencing ghosts.
They want you could taco now.
Yeah. That's not really what happened. No, actually,
what really happened?
I was cutting audio to try to make like the clip for Facebook when we post up the cover art. And it's on the, what part was it? It was me talking about how people said if they drank something that would make them first place, but they would die in 5 years. Somewhere in there, I couldn't find it just now at the shop. But when I get back home, I'm going to try to find it. But it was funny because I was playing it back and then Kim was like, slow it down, isolate that. I was like, it's not fucking NCIS. Like, you watch the movie. I don't know what the, hold on. I can't do that.
I'm just cutting audio here. I don't know what I'm doing.
I'm just cutting a clip. I don't want to do all that. Like, this isn't fucking Ghost Hunters. Like,
I'm talking to Brad.
Yeah. So, I mean, I could do it with a little bit of time and figuring it out, but it was just a weird female sounding voice and it didn't sound like it was in the background. It
was
doesn't
like, I
sound.
Suck your dick.
Yeah. That's what it said. Right. It's a. See, I learned on last episode. Yeah, when Brad says shit about dicks, you just say yes and ding the bell.
That's right.
But yeah, it's a female voice and it's kind of, I don't even believe in that shit, but there's a weird noise on that. And I looped it and played it over and over and I can't make out what it is. It sounds like a female voice in one of our microphones. I need the separate tracks. I need to pull the separate tracks off here to find it right.
Was it Mexican? It wasn't me.
It was. It said El Yucateco.
El Yucateco. He thinks it's somewhere around 20 minutes in the doping episode. So if you ended up hearing something as well,
I didn't hear anything.
Let us know so we could check it out. See, now there's a poltergeist throwing water around.
Jesus Christ.
We're in the haunted basement.
Someone's just going to cut audio and put dicks in there. It's going to be great. It's going to be all, actually, yeah, in this
audio. Dick. But if you hear something, do let us know.
Yeah, because we don't know. Brent can't find it. He heard it. I think it's just at his house.
It could be.
There's a ghost at your house.
My audition was acting weird right before that, and then the audio did stop. But I could replicate it and play it back. It was in the track.
Well, behind the logic of an EVP, the ghost would be in the basement because that's where we're recording.
Yeah.
That would make more sense.
We should
invite Ghost Hunters
down here.
And just play it off.
Yeah.
We do have Timmy down here. He does drink alcohol.
Yeah.
The ghost of Genghis Khan.
Who is it? What's the guy's name? What's the
Mr. Spreckles.
Mr. Spreckles. Yeah, he is down here. down here.
That's the I made up a character to scare my kids from the basement, and it was called Mr. Spreckles, and he eats meat sprinklets. Yeah, he has green glowing eyes. And then I would let him like walk down here, and then I would just fucking flip all the breakers off.
That's fucked.
Like that would scare me. Like it's fucking pitch black down here with the breakers off. You can't see anything.
It is.
And the bad thing about telling a thing like that on your kids is like inevitably you're down here in the basement sometimes.
You'll freak yourself out.
Mr. Spreckles.
Yeah.
My old, was it the drummer? We had like a band down here for a long time before it was podcast. It was Band Place. But I think it was the bass player. Someone would always look over my fucking shoulder because I would stand that way and my back was to the stairs. And they would constantly fucking stop us playing and be like, I swear to God, I just fucking saw someone stick their head out. And I was like, stop fucking saying that, dude. To the point that if I was like last guy out of the basement, like how you can see through those stairs, like I could see under the stairs, but it's dark. And I'd be like, something is going to grab my fucking foot. Like I'm grown man. I got chupacabra before there was a such thing. Yeah. But at one time we went up because the drummer smoked and he was going to take a smoke break, and we left his fucking phone on record, setting on one of the amps, just facing down, and it just turned off. When we came back, his phone was just fucking off though. I don't believe in that kind of shit.
Fuck an EVP. That ghost was like, I got some shit to say, and this is not appropriate to be recorded.
Not only did he hold the power button, he fucking swiped it.
Yeah, that's funny. So what are we doing with whiskey? What do we got?
Oh, yeah.
So we've got a special whiskey gift that might kill us all or might be really awesome.
I've asked multiple people if this was okay, and they all said we wouldn't die. One of our fans, Andrew Sanders, contacted me on Facebook and said, hey, how does a bottle of 1969 Jim Beam sound? And I said, like, too much, man. Like, don't do it. And he was like, my grandma collected these ornate, like, some kind of collectible bottle. Like, Dave took a picture, and I think he's posting it on his Instagram.
Yeah, I'm going to post that.
So, at Sofa King David, you can see a picture of the bottle. And it is strange and ornate. And the seal is intact.
Now, I've seen empty bottles like this before at antique stores. Like, you'll see it's like from a world's fair or from some event, and they have like special bottlings where they used to back in the 60s and 70s. Like, I've seen them before, but I've never seen one with the seal still on full of Jim Beam.
It's 47 years old. Should we wait 3 years and not drink this shit?
Nope.
No, we're going to drink it right now. He said the only part of the deal is he wants this bottle back, though. So we can drink the whiskey, but he wants the bottle back because it was his grandma's. But legitly, like, I can't believe this. Like, this thing is 47 years old, and the fucking seal is on it. I think we're going to die. I rinsed my whiskey glass out so that I would have an unaltered taste.
I'm already buzzed.
All right. Brad just reaching for it. I got to open it.
All right. Break the seal. Yeah. And I'll post a picture right after the show. So by the time you're listening to this, it will have been posted for a while.
It actually bothers me a little bit. Like, it's like that thing where my,
you okay?
Yeah. I hit my fucking pop stop thing here. Where my kid opened that, it's not going to work. My kid opened that toy from like fucking the 80s Superman. I was like, take that shit back.
Yeah.
They were opening this. All right. There's the seal is now broken.
No pop. Uh-oh.
I don't know, man. That little wax thing looks...
Let me see it.
Dude, that looks sketchy. I don't know. What's wrong with the thing?
Is that it's a glass top. Wow.
But there was some kind of material that was supposed
to be sealed.
Yeah,
it's like a wax.
Yeah, it's a wax seal. Yeah.
It doesn't look...
Fuck. So Brent's looking into the bottle.
Dude, I think it's going to be a no on this shit.
Well, pour some out and let's see what it looks like. We might just pour it and be like, nope.
No. I'm going to turn my flashlight on because what I see in the top of this, I don't even want to put in my glass. Like, I think this shit might be
bacteria?
He said if it's not okay, he has another. Oh, what the fuck? No, what's wrong is this is supposed to have a cork on it
and
attached
it's in
to that,
there.
And the cork is still in the hole. So look.
Oh, it dropped in there. It dropped in there.
It didn't drop. It's just...
Oh, it's in there.
47 years.
You broke the cork off.
No, I pulled it straight up.
You broke the cork off. You fucking idiot.
Yeah, it was definitely me and not 47 years of alcohol deterioration on a fucking cork.
Pour it out into a glass, motherfucker.
Dude.
Ooh.
It does not smell okay, man.
It's on my finger.
It looks okay. There's some nibbly bits. Fuck, man. I said I wasn't going to drink anything unsealed, and this is technically sealed. Woo. I don't know, man. I'm scared.
What I smell on my finger. I'm
legitimately fucking scared, dude.
Ah, man.
Everyone says it's okay. Fuck.
Yeah, there are nibbly bits floating in it.
Actually, okay, what I smelled on my finger, it didn't smell good.
No, the wax ring smells like toxic death.
Yes. That was before the show.
Okay, if we go fucking blind, man,
I'll just drink a little bit.
It smells like whiskey, though.
Put this thing back in there.
It smells like whiskey.
So it doesn't spill.
All right. Well,
when Brad
goes, I'm glad you guys got the nibbly bits because I didn't get any.
When Brad Pacino comes out and the fucking Al Pacino cat. All right.
Wow. We're just waiting, like, who goes first, okay?
All right.
All right.
It's fucking here everybody at the same time. Just take a sip. Everybody at the same time. Is it good? Is it okay for me to drink?
You didn't do it, bitch? No. It's smooth as fuck.
It is smooth as
it's
fuck.
It's smooth right, as
it's delicious.
Fuck.
It does not taste like Jim Beam at all.
I'm scared as fuck, though, that I'm going to fall over and die, but it's really smooth.
It tastes old.
It's
very
smooth.
Very
smooth.
It's delicious.
It's very good.
It's delicious.
I got the chills.
I'm still reserved, though. I have this like thing like when I eat fish, I always feel like I'm going to get sick off fish for some reason. I'm always have this uneasy feeling.
Man.
It's really warm.
Well, it's the best Jim Beam I've ever tasted.
Ever.
It's really good. Look at me. Look at my goosebumps, dude. Like, I'm like fucking goosebumped out.
It's good. We'll sip on it. Well, if we're dead or blind by the end of the show, you all know why.
Yeah. And
I told the people at the coffee shop, if we don't come out of the basement in an hour and a half, check on us.
Andrew Sanders, just know you might have killed us. This might be the last.
Andrew Sanders, you magnificent bastard. Yeah. We all die by whiskey. I cannot complain.
Yeah.
We did. Technically, we drank something together as a cult.
Oh, man. That was the plan.
That could possibly kill us.
I didn't wear my Nikes. What shoes are you wearing?
We got flip-flops on.
I hope Andrew Sanders is sitting at a compound somewhere stroking his cult leader beard laughing maniacally because today is the day everyone dies.
He's stroking something.
Yeah, he is.
All right.
Okay.
So. Let's talk about something even crazier.
Something even crazier. So this is something that a couple of people have asked over the time that we've been doing the show, once we started talking conspiracy theories, that people definitely wanted to hear about. And it's the idea of remote viewing. And remote viewing is typically, it falls under the government name of Project Stargate. That was the primary name.
It had some funny names, though.
It had a bunch of names. Because the thing is, originally it was multiple small projects that got unified into Stargate. So
who gets to pick those fucking names, though? Like Project Paperclip, like something so dubious.
In this case,
were these the names? Gondola Wish, yes. Grill Flame, yep. Center Lame, Sunstreak, and Scanty?
Scanty or something. In this case, it was Major General Albert Stubblebein. He's the one who named it Project Stargate because that was his thing.
Are you fucking still scared? I'm scared over here.
I'm getting lightheaded.
Well, you drank a freaking tumbler of whiskey an hour ago, too.
Maybe.
I'm seriously uneasy, though. I know it's fine. Too. Like, no one died. It didn't
I'm waiting
weird.
To feel, like, sick.
All of a sudden, we get nauseous, yeah.
I'm perfectly fine. 100%.
All right.
I wonder if I could mind fuck Brent into thinking he's...
I'm sure you can.
Men who stare at Brent.
So... The idea of remote viewing, for anyone who doesn't know what it is, in Castle times, it was called telesthesia or traveling clairvoyance. And the idea here is...
It existed in Castle times?
Yes.
Yes.
There is record of it? Okay.
Or traveling clairvoyance supposedly did all back right. then. But the idea of remote viewing... is that, and this is a unique, this isn't exactly clairvoyance. The people who talk about remote viewing say this is a different skill than clairvoyance. And the other thing that's weird about remote viewing is the main guy who's responsible for remote viewing is a guy named Ingo Swann.
Right.
So as we talk about everything,
I've heard that name before.
Ingo Swann was the main guy who knew how to do this. And when people would talk to Ingo Swann, they would say, oh, so you're a psychic. And he would say, no, I'm not a psychic, but I can do remote viewing.
Yeah. Hang out with Ringo Starr.
And they would be like, every time anyone would call him a psychic, he would say, I'm not a psychic.
Right.
Like, this is not psychic. This is remote viewing.
Superpower.
Well, you consider a psychic like telling the future.
Like that's what I would consider
the distinction. Well, he said it wasn't a psych. He said like I think his distinction was a psychic ability was some rare inherent thing that is very unusual and hard to find someone who has a psychic ability.
He believed everyone could do it, right?
He said everyone could do it, and in fact, he supposedly trained people to do it.
Right.
But the idea behind remote viewing. So here's how it works.
I did it last night. And I could see my sock in the dryer.
That's right.
Yeah.
He would be given.
I did it.
Yes, you did.
I only have one sock in the dryer.
That's right. I don't know. Why did you only have one?
I was only looking at that one. There was more.
I was only looking for one. So the idea of remote viewing is that you could be given one of the tests that they did for Ingo Swann was that they would have an image in an envelope. And they would even do it double blind. So the person who walked in with the envelope and set it on the table didn't know what was in there. Right. So this guy had very little chance of influencing
that way. He's not reading that guy's mind. Right.
Right. Right. Or whatever.
Yeah.
And then he would say, this is the thing. And then Ingo Swann would grab a pen and draw out a rough sketch and explain the feeling of it or whatever, and then pull it out and then show, this is it. I don't know what's in that envelope or whatever.
Right.
And they would pull it out. And more times than not, it was some sort of a representation of what was in the envelope. But then
sounds like the pick a card, any card.
Well, no, but the thing is though, and here's the reason that I find this one interesting. Almost every psychic thing that I run into, I just call 100% bullshit on. But this thing has so much government backing, and there is so much documentation behind it, and there are so many people whose credibility should be them saying this is 100% bullshit.
Right.
But then they're like, nope, this really.
I saw a document that had an interview with a statistician that was like, looking at the data, I have to say there's something here.
Right.
Like something, there are more times than not. They're coming up with something.
And that was probably Dr. Jessica Utz.
Yeah, it was.
And let me go through the history and then get up to Jessica Utz and talk about some of the examples of it. Okay. But the other thing is though, before going into the history, what was odd is it isn't just an envelope. They would give him coordinates.
Right.
They would get like just random coordinates that they knew from a spy satellite. There was some, you know, a bunch of tanks and a garage or something.
Which is weird. Wouldn't you have to be kind of at least familiar with longitude and latitude to even try to perceive that? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
so, you would. But the thing is, though, they would give him a latitude and longitude, and they would already know that there was something there just to test him. And
right.
They would say, draw it. And then he would draw supposedly where the tanks were, where a little garage was, and it would match up remarkably
right.
with what was actually there, even though he was sitting in a room and had no way to ever have possibly known
right.
what was in there. And you could even, he could even say, like, I'm going to. I don't know, all kinds of, he could pick places, he could do all kinds of stuff. One of the things that he did was he remote viewed to Jupiter, and they asked him some features of Jupiter, and he looked at Jupiter and wrote down all this stuff and drew some things, and they were like, well, that wasn't accurate. But then when the Voyager spacecraft went by Jupiter, they were like, oh no, all the shit he said is actually accurate.
Simulation.
Like, that's kind of what Jupiter really does
game.
Look
that's
like.
That's the only way that happens, is that it's a video game.
So Ingo Swann was the guy, but so what happens is there's parapsychologists.
Check out these pictures.
What the fuck is that mine?
That's you, homie.
Did you say Google?
I'm muted. I'm on mute. That couldn't have been me.
It's not me.
It was yours, dude. It wasn't mine. My screen's not open. Too. That came from your direction. That was weird.
There's fuck an EVP.
Yeah,
they're taking over my phone.
We talked about the phone.
My phone is
off.
Both on mute and there is a stop clock running. So I don't know why it just said, check out these pictures.
What are the pictures of?
There's nothing. I just looked. There's
porn.
Nothing there.
Gay porn.
There's nothing there.
Let me
it's
see.
Probably Gary
at?
Coleman under the stairs.
I don't have my OK Google on. So
no,
you're not Googling me.
That was really strange. I don't even have it on.
Did you say something that rhymed with Google?
No.
Mm-hmm. I heard it.
Maybe we're hallucinating. It didn't even happen. There's fucking
know.
LSD,
fucking,
fucking 1969.
Yeah. It's the whiskey.
Yeah, man.
We're tripping balls.
That'd be awesome if that really happened.
Yeah.
Don't do that to us, but it would be awesome in
fucking
hindsight.
Angel dust.
So, okay.
Breaking shit.
1972, Stanford Research Institute. There's two professors who work at the Stanford Research Institute. They're psychologists, but more specifically, they're parapsychologists. And their goal is they're trying to confirm if any sort of unnormal phenomenon, psychic phenomenon are real. And the bulk of what they do is trying to discredit people and look for the random person that might have something legitimate. And it's two people, Russell Targ and Harold Puthoff.
Russell Targ.
Russell Targ.
Fucking names,
they have some names, Russell Targ and Harold Puthoff. And in 1972, they start looking for psychics who can do something and then repeatedly do it. And they're trying to poke holes in them and prove that they're frauds and do all this different stuff.
You got Targ and Puthoff looking for psychics.
Targ and Puthoff are looking for psychics. So the government starts to hear word of what they're doing. And a lieutenant colonel named Austin Kibler, who works for ARPA, which is the predecessor to DARPA. So they're looking for fringe, you know, cutting edge stuff that might be worthwhile. And they send a professor of psychology from University to Oregon to check out what they're doing. He debunks most of what they're doing and the funding gets cut. And this is kind of the early history of Project Stargate is we start doing it, it gets cut. We start doing it, it gets cut. We start doing it, it gets cut. But there was enough being done that the military continued to have a sustained interest in it for like 20 something years, right?
And you saw how we originally got into it.
Because of the Russians?
Yeah, there was like a rumor that we were doing it, so the Russians started researching it.
Well, it was the Cold War.
Right.
It was the Cold War. It's like the missile.
They thought we were doing it, and then they started doing it.
Yeah, the missile
gap. Really started doing
it.
We started doing it because they did it.
Right. Yeah. So they thought we were doing it, so they did it, and then we thought they thought we were doing it, so then we started doing it.
Yes.
So then, but again, and this was big in the 60s and
Russia's
in the 70s.
Russia's developing giant dildos. We have a dildo gap.
We'll build a dildo larger than anyone. But the...
All of a sudden, Dick Tracy came in.
Dildo Tracy. The thing is,
I noticed nobody drank their whiskey anymore, and Dave even put his paper on top of it.
I keep putting my paper. I'll take another drink.
Damn. Nah, fuck it. I'm already drunk. I'm drunk.
It's good and it's smooth and it's gonna kill us.
Man, it tastes like grandma's house though.
So in 1977,
Brent shaking his head. It tastes like grandma's house. Tell me it don't.
I'm fucking scared of it.
Tell me it don't taste like grandma's house. It tastes like grandma's house.
Only because of the backstory. I don't think we would have that description had we not had
that.
No,
I don't think
it's got that. It's got that patented old person house smell.
It's like mothballs and cheap perfume.
Yeah, you know, like when you walk into an old person's house, it smells a certain way.
Right.
Piss and carbon
fresh. No, that's like old person's home. I'm just talking about like an actual like old person's house.
Yeah, you just said old person's house. That's old person's home.
No, that's like a
nursing
home. Yeah, like a nursing home. Yeah, that smells like diapers and fucking applesauce.
Oh, man, I wanted carpet fresh to be the thing, but
like grandma's house has a certain smell to it that only old people's house can get. It has that back flavor on it.
They got that candy bowl with the hard candy that you pick one piece up and the whole fucking bowl comes up.
What? You guys knew that one. I didn't know that one.
You never had that?
No, she never had candy.
Good candy?
She never had candy.
You're so poor you didn't even have candy.
No.
Potato sacks.
Shit on a shingle.
It's a bowl of sugar. So throughout the 70s, they start it, they stop it, they start it, they stop it.
You just have to lick your finger and dip it in the
bowl. You know the dip,
trick or treat.
It's the dipsticks, but it's just sugar.
It's just your finger.
A Kool-Aid packet and a bowl of sugar, and then you just lick your finger and dip it in there.
Legit, I had some neighbors that were really
finger
poor
was
like
always
that,
red
and they
or
would
blue.
Just have like sugar and raisins in like a fucking bag, not even a Ziploc bag. It was like the fold-over bag, so it wasn't even Ziploc.
Oh, the sandwich bag.
Yeah, the sandwich bag.
Oh, no.
And then they would come over with bread, and they had butter, just buttered bread, like white bread with sugar sprinkled on it.
Yeah.
All the time.
That's a cinnamon toast without toasting.
With raisins, too?
No, the raisins was just like sugar and raisins in a bag, yeah.
That's awful.
It's probably good. It's raisins.
Okay.
No, it's cinnamon toast.
Okay, 1978. 1978 is when it gets more official army sanctioning. So from 72 to 78, it tends to be Stanford Research Institute is looking into these things, and then they keep getting their funding granted and pulled based on different people that are showing up. So the evidence is convincing enough to keep convincing people to give them money, and then other people will show up and say, no, I don't think so, and then the money gets pulled, and then they do something else that gets them money, and that kind of keeps going back and forth. But in 78, Army Intelligence gets interested, and they start Project Grill Flame at Fort Meade. And then by 91, the entire thing is consolidated to be Operation Stargate under the Defense Intelligence Agency.
They need a good name. Grill Flame, finally they got the Stargate. They're like, this is it. Fucking
right,
funny.
Right. So the idea here is that the remote viewing is, again, one of the reasons I'm really fascinated by this one is because I can't just outright dismiss this one. This is one that I can't just say, nope, bullshit, and I'm going to call it a day. But even with it, so in 91, it becomes the DIA's project, and that's when it's Stargate. The DIA transfers it to the CIA in 95, and that's when they get Dr. Jessica Utz. And Dr. Utz is a statistician. And I mean, she's a legit statistician. She's a world renowned statistician. She's written 10 textbooks on statistics. She's like one of the best statistical experts in the world, which is why they got her to look at the hit ratio of people far viewing and seeing things at different distances. And her conclusion is there is something to this. Right. Like the raw statistical data is far more than random probability or guessing or imagination. Like the accuracy of this is worthy of consideration and worthy of studying, and she thinks something is genuinely happening. She makes no she doesn't pretend to know what it is. And in fact, she wasn't shown the images, the pictures, the real thing versus the hand-drawn picture. She wasn't given any of that. She was just given the data of the hits, right? Like whether or not it was a hit or not. And she said, this is statistically significant, and she thinks it's really happening.
I don't know, because I got... The things I saw, it was, everything was opposite. Like, it was like the director of the CIA said, which he wasn't the director in 1995 when they handed it over to him.
Right.
But it was through the 80s. And he said that he didn't even know about the program. And there was all these claims that they had used it with the CIA to find people and do all this stuff. Well, he didn't know about it. It wasn't significant. And that they had done about 500 cases and that only about 15 of them had probability of them actually helping out. And they would never actually use just that information. They had other information also that was sourcing.
Those were specifically missing persons cases.
No, they said that they weren't all missing persons. They were just like looking for, well, some of them were searching for people like overseas or, sure, or whatever. Some of them, they found a Soviet underground bunker,
right.
One of the guys had drawn a crane that was inside of it or something like that. And some other specifics. What's wrong?
Maybe I'm tired. I'm fine. Poison whiskey? I don't know. I feel weird.
Well, no, because again, I mean, this is the thing, because again, people from the CIA will come up and say all this shit and then debunk
it. It's like,
but then you end up with like a major general for Army intelligence who's like, no, we used this shit and it was very, so it's like, it's a real back and forth thing.
I read anything that said they would only use them in a complete last resort after all other options had been exhausted.
Yeah.
All resources had been exhausted.
And there was a guy who was a, basically was employed to study the psychics or whatever they want to call them, remote viewers. Mm-hmm. And he said that more impressive was like some of the things that they would come up with, not related to the case, but that they would know certain things that they shouldn't know. And he said that was what was intriguing, you know.
No, and like, I think, like, no, that's so, a very good point.
There's more to it, maybe. Like, I don't know.
Well, no, that's a very good point, because that's part of it, is that a lot of times they would have someone and they would be like, okay, so remote view and do this thing. And they would remote view something. But the nature is they didn't draw some picture perfect thing. They would draw some super weird sketch with a line and two circles and be like, that's what I'm seeing. I have no idea. But then if you ended up looking at like satellite imagery, those two circles were missile silos. And that line was a road, and it fits perfectly where they were, and it's exact. But unless you had other intelligence, you wouldn't have seen. And also, they would see things that had nothing to do with, like, or things that were interpreted wrong. Like, there was one guy, and I'm trying to find his name in my notes. He was talking about a time where there was they remote viewed and they were given coordinates. Okay. And a psychologist named Dr. Charles Tart, who was part of Stargate, and he spent 40 years doing research on ESP and on different things. He's a psychologist. And he said that the first time he saw proof that what was happening in Stargate was real was that he was in the room when a debunked thing of remote viewing turned out to be true, because someone had remote viewed a location just based on coordinates, and he kept drawing this thing, and he drew like a building, like a garage, and they were like, and he drew the garage and he drew like some stuff near it, and the intelligence people already knew there was a garage there and that stuff was near it. But then they said, so what's in the garage? That's what the intelligence community wanted to know. And he kept drawing all this stuff, and he was like, it's a submarine. And he kept drawing this like submarine thing, and it's like landlocked Siberia. And even based on the size of the garage that the intelligence already knew, they were like, it isn't a fucking submarine. That's bigger than any submarine on Earth.
It was
like,
a sandwich.
Guy's tripping. But then satellite photo, like this guy, the psychologist, was there when they discovered that satellite photos showed the Russians digging a canal from that garage into a river, where they then floated the world's largest submarine down the river.
Oh, wow.
And so again, could be 100% bullshit. Charles Tart could just be fucking lying. But if there's any truth to that, that's kind of a trip. And those are the claims that a lot of people involved kind of make. So again, this guy, you either have to claim bullshit that this guy's lying, or that's some crazy shit, right? So this is kind of the nature
I've always believed that like our mind is more powerful than we think it is. You know what I mean? Like, I think we have the ability to heal ourselves. Like when something's wrong, if you think positively, and you know what I mean? Like you actually have the ability to make yourself better or worse.
Absolutely.
Depending on
if you're stressed out, you make yourself sick, your immune system.
So,
shut.
Yeah. Like I said, I've always had this thing where my friend in high school, I think we were like 18, about to graduate. And, he got an appendicitis, and I was so worried about getting appendicitis. 1 month later, exactly, I was in the hospital with appendicitis.
With appendicitis.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so I mean, I think there's something more to it. Like, I honestly believe like we're more powerful than we think we are.
Well, placebo effect is an ode to that. You know, like,
yeah,
people take sugar pills and get better. It's clearly exactly. Mind over matter. Yeah.
Right.
Or like
right.
Grandma's pinned on over in an under a car or something, and they pick up a fucking car.
Yeah, yeah, no mom way, strength. Yeah, yeah.
That crazy stuff happens. So right. Yeah, there's definitely something to it. And maybe certain people have control over that. Like the whole thing of, I like the fart theory that I've talked about before, Rogan's fart theory. If you didn't have a nose, you wouldn't know farts existed. Like, who True. Knows what sensory perception we don't have?
Yeah,
we can't
right.
see, you know, gamma waves and Wi-Fi and all these things that yeah. we're bombarded with. There's cell phone signals fucking all over this shit right now. There's yeah. all kinds of electromagnetic fields.
I wonder
coming
if there's a video. I wonder if there's like some sort of video thing where you can actually that
see
would that? Show
see
you
those
the signals.
Things. Yeah.
That would be awesome.
Well, because in biohacking, we talked about that like one day you can have a choice to have eyeballs that
can see different things.
You can
yeah.
see Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's going to happen.
GPS coordinates yeah. and stuff like.
And there's a, again, another psychologist, a guy named Dr. Dean Radin. And he, I watched a video, that was, I'm trying to find the name of it. It was on Hulu, which is an odd place for it, 'cause it was like some short half hour documentary, and it's just called Remote Viewing. And it follows this guy named Jeff Warren, who's a science writer, and he's highly skeptical. He thinks this is all bullshit. And it's like a little 30-minute documentary of him, and he meets key people in remote viewing, and he's looking into it and all this different stuff. And he's trying to prove whether there's anything to it or not. And when he interviews this guy named Dr. Dean Radin, he says that like his theory here, which ties into all this, like there's more shit than we know about. He says that he thinks of space-time, like it gets kind of trippy, but he says that like he thinks of space-time as like an ocean. Like if you're standing on the shore and you see waves bashing against the ocean, like at any given time, if you took a photograph and you saw water droplets flying through the air and this exact image of the ocean, that's as much as your consciousness can see is this still photo yeah. of the ocean.
Makes sense.
But the entire ocean is there.
Right.
We just can't perceive it. That's
well, it's just like, that makes sense. 'Cause if you think about outer space, you can only think about what you've seen.
Right. So that's his analogy, and he even does a thing, and I've seen this before, but he does it, and he does it to the filmmaker who's sitting there. And the thing is, and again, it just deals with statistics. They'll put a galvanic response sensor on you, which measures electrical charges in your skin. And they have a computer program that will randomly randomly show you pictures from a database of things that are considered neutral pictures or things that would be an emotionally charged picture. Things like violence or sex or like really decadent food. And the thing is, 3 seconds on average, 3 seconds before the picture shows up, people have an electrical response in their skin before the negative image shows up.
It's because they're already thinking of what's going to be there.
Well, but it's 50-50. Like, it you have no idea what's coming up next.
And it could be a kitten.
It could be a kitten, and it could be a naked woman.
You're going to have a response based on, like, you're already thinking about it. Like,
well, but the thing is, statistically, the stats are, like, way overboard that there's a predictive event happening.
He's saying they tend to have the galvanic response when a negative picture is coming.
So more 3 seconds before the negative picture comes.
It's a guess, though. Yeah, it's a guess.
Like, it's more than probability.
If you said, okay, Brad, we're going to show you 5 images, and some of them are going to be good, some of them are going to be bad, or whatever you say, I'm already going to think. After I see one, I'm already going to be predicting what the next one's going to be.
Right, but over a large enough number, statistically, it should be like a 50-50.
Yeah, statistically, it should be 50. If you've done this to 100,000 times.
Not necessarily.
At the end, it should break out as a 50-50.
Not necessarily. What if you only showed partial... That's what's wrong with statistics, though. Like, it wouldn't necessarily be 50-50. Because what if I guess 25 out of 75? You know what I mean? Or what if I guess 80 out of 100? It would change depending on how good I guessed.
Well, that's what he's saying. Is it tended to lean in the favor of them predicting something somehow. That they were likely. Well, I don't know.
Some people are better at predicting. Like, if you're going to flip over whether it's going to be red or blue, and all you have is red and blue, I could have a better odd than you. You know what I mean?
That's what he's saying, though. Some people seem to have that inherent ability based off of the testing that some people showed to be able to.
Well, no. According to this guy, it's not that some people do; it's that everyone does. He said that if you do this experiment over a long run, statistically, you should break out at about 50%. And he didn't say what the percentage is, but he said, again, probably the same thing that Utz was looking at, that statistically the odds are way beyond random chance when you're looking.
Have you ever played the match game, like for the kids?
Memory.
Yeah, memory. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like that. Like, I can actually visualize a card when I flip it over, you know, like, I don't know. Well, maybe I'm remote viewing.
There you go.
Yeah,
you saw the princess frog.
Yeah,
before you flipped it over,
I did. But sometimes I don't, though. Sometimes I see it and it doesn't happen.
And so again, a lot of this is stuff that's done by Ingo Swann. And when they looked at Ingo Swann,
he's a fucking magician,
and he showed up. And Ingo Swann he died in 2013. But when he's this weird kind of effeminate guy. He's an artist, like he. Didn't really cash in on any of this. He wrote like a book about it finally towards the end there. But so when he was first brought in to the SRI research team and they were looking at him, there were two doctors, Bonnie Prescari and Carol Silfen, and they were testing his, you know, this when he first showed up. They were like, okay, so you can see things at remote things. And he was like, yeah, I can do that. So they would take and they would put items and numbers on a tray that was 14 feet above his head in a room that he couldn't see anything on the tray. And they would have him come in, and his results over 8 sessions of guessing were accurate enough that if it was statistical, it was a 1 in 40,000% chance that he would have just randomly guessed the items that were on the tray as accurately as he did. And in the long run, as this guy kept doing different tests, they said he did 100 what they called runs. And on an average run of 10 things, it would be 7 hits, which is like, there's something in this envelope, draw a sketch of it. And I draw a wave and a blanket.
Right.
And then like, yeah, there's actually a beach blanket next to some waves. And it's like, I could have fucking drawn anything. But out of 10, he would get 7 hits, 2 neutral, and 1 miss.
And I wonder if the other 3 was some envelope of something else, like just not that far away. There's like a PG&E bill. Just sitting on the desk.
They would throw all kinds of, but at the end of the day, when they were testing him, they said that his remote viewing was 95% accurate. And they claimed that the people he trained over years were somewhere in the 80% accurate of whether or not they could get a hit. But again, a hit is I drew a squiggle in a square. And when you finally look at the picture, it's like, oh no, that's exactly where the beach blanket is. And that's where the waves are. But if you don't have that original information, it's just a squiggle on a square.
You can't
make the collaboration. You can't make the
connection. It was, as a general rule, they never provided the test, the person being tested with the information as to whether they were right or wrong.
Right.
They were, so they didn't actually tell you. So you might have thought you were a badass and you have no idea how frustrating would that
suck.
Be. You know, a couple of wavy lines, square, star, beach blanket. Yeah,
I was always right to me because I really saw that in my head.
But you just do that for 3 months and they're like, thank you. Thank you. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thank you very much. Okay.
And then every day you don't know.
Yeah, we have no fucking idea.
Can we remote view each other's underwear colors?
Probably.
Go for it.
Gray.
What do you think, Dave?
I don't know. I'm just seeing blue on Brad.
Same, but I'm seeing blue on you.
Because he's wearing blue. That's why you're guessing that.
See, you thinking blue? What are you thinking?
Are we all guessing my underwear gray? Right now?
No, I'm guessing Brad's. I'm only guessing Brad's. I'm only seeing Brad's.
Gray.
I'm seeing blue.
On my underwear?
No, I'm not seeing your underwear. I have no hit on your underwear. I have a miss on your underwear.
He's got a hit
on my
underwear.
I'm seeing Brad's underwear.
I got to check it out. Let's see.
Yeah,
see he doesn't even know.
What you got on? Yeah, you're unzipping your pants. You really had to do
this. Is this what's happening? I don't know. This whiskey is doing bad things to us.
He has blue on.
Oh, that was kind of the color blue I was picturing.
Maybe you're reviewing his.
I must have been. Your pants are
better. What are mine?
I have no idea.
But you see mine.
I thought yours were blue.
Yours are just gray. They're boring.
Mine are gray.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I know. So you saw his. What are yours? I said you had blue on.
I saw
mine. Maybe I was seeing his.
I saw his when I rolled over this morning.
That's right. I'm wearing black. I always bet on black.
Mm-hmm.
It's because it's slimming.
That's right. Yeah, I need it. So anyway, again, I can look at these numbers and say that these people are all full of shit.
Right.
Or I kind of have to go, well, what the fuck? And again, when I'm dealing
if you believe what they're writing down.
No, that's exactly it. That becomes the key issue.
If they're really trying to push,
it could have been Bill Murray and
you
wanted to go on a date and pick the chick up a date.
That becomes the key issue here. But when I'm seeing multiple people whose academic profession is on the line, like that statistician is damaging her reputation by saying far viewing works.
There's no way to prove that it doesn't though.
No, but why would you, I mean, she doesn't stand, she stood nothing to gain.
She didn't make,
she didn't get notoriety. She didn't,
she just looked,
she's just looking at the data.
So that's what it's like Brad's saying. They could be fucking with the data because they're biased. They want it to come out their way. The statistician looks at the data that was falsified and it looks real.
They didn't put too much money into this. They spent $20 million over 20 years.
Right.
So it's $1 million a year funding, which, I mean, if you're employing all these, I mean, that's not really a lot to do. That's scared the shit out of me.
We're haunted today.
Man.
It was a skateboard. So, another thing is, and again, unless it's just pure bullshit, they measured Ingo Swann's brain activity when he was allegedly remote far viewing. And they said that there was bipolar electroencephalographic activity over the occipital, temporal, and frontal lobes. And they said that it was far more brain activity than anyone would have from just imagining something, just using the creativity sections of the brain, or dreaming.
Mm-hmm.
And that it was a fire up of the brain in very unique and powerful ways whenever he would far view, which doesn't mean he was seeing something across the world. He could just be going in some weird artistic fugue state where weird shit's firing in his brain. But again, it was odd. So the film that I saw, again, the one called Remote Viewing on Hulu with Jeff Warren, and I've seen things like this before, it was kind of a trip because he went on. So Ingo Swann trained people. And again, the book, The Men Who Stare at Goats by John Ronson, which was then made into a movie.
I read that was highly accurate. Like there was a lot of stuff in that movie. And then I watched that fucking movie last night and I was like, God damn it. I should have been reading for an hour and a half.
Well, I heard that the book was fairly accurate, but it was kind of snarky and tongue in cheek and making fun of it, not taking any of it seriously. So the people involved in Stargate are all kind of offended by the movie. But, and even in this documentary, the main guy, the scientific writer, Jeff Warren, is actually trying to get a guy who used to work for Stargate to stare at a goat so he could get it on camera and fuck with him. But the guy was like, I'm not staring at those goats.
I saw an interview where the guy says he like witnessed the goat.
Have you
like,
seen goat's eyes though? They got creepy.
They have creepy
eyes.
Man,
they got weird cat's eyes. Like a cat's eye is like their pupils long and vertical. Mm. A goat, it's sideways. It's horizontal.
It's bizarre.
And it's like this fucking weird,
space alien.
Really weird eyes.
But anyway, so other important names.
It's
if you're looking at remote viewing, one of the main guys who's like on the circuit and making money about it is a guy who at the time was a major. It is confirmed that he was working for Stargate and he was on the base and he was part of the SRI experiments, etc. But he was a major at the time, Major Ed Dames, and allegedly Ingo Swann, like he sat in a room with Ingo Swann, saw what he was doing, and he was like, this is pretty amazing. Like, and he was, this is when Ingo Swann for the first time said, no, I'm not a psychic. This is just a talent. I can teach anyone how to do it. And he taught Major Ed Dames how to do it. And Ed Dames was called remote viewer number three because he was the third person who Ingo Swann trained. And Ed Dames claims he can do it, not nearly as good as Ingo Swann, but he even does like training sessions for people.
The hell they do, just like to meditate, show them how relax. To do it.
It's weird. On this video, you see him doing it and like training people, and like even so, like the filmmaker goes through training from Dames, and Dames refers to him in the video as the wise ass in the back row. And you can tell he doesn't like the guy because he's like busting balls and calling bullshit on all this stuff. But at one point he's like going through all this stuff and he's got something in an envelope. And he has the skeptic like draws this little ideogram of like what's obviously water with like this funky little shape in the middle. And when the Ed Dames pulls this thing out, it's a fucking dolphin breaking through the waves. And it looks exactly like this guy's sketch was.
He's all shit.
And the guy's like, fuck, like you could just see it on his face. He's like, what? And then a little bit later psychic. At the same thing, Ed Dames found out where when you sign up for the class, he found out where everyone's class was, like where everyone in the class was born, like where they lived right now. And one of the guys was from Karachi. I don't even know where fucking Karachi is.
It's right here.
That's
right.
Yeah.
That's when you kick them in the balls.
That's where my blue boxers are.
You just get Karachi.
You have to say hi-ya. Hi-ya.
But Karachi. So when they were on a break, Ed Dames went out. He has no idea what is near this guy's house, but he writes down the coordinates based on the actual street address. Mm-hmm. And he comes back in and he has the classroom full of people who he's training how to remote view. And he just writes numbers on the board because this is one of the things that Ingo Swann claimed to be able to do. You could just give him numbers, which were coordinates, and he would draw what was at the coordinates. So he put coordinates on the board and he talks everybody into staring at the thing and doing remote viewing. And everybody starts drawing some shit. And even Ed Dames doesn't know. Like the thing is, he's saying, draw what's here. And then his plan is to reveal whose house it is and say, what is the largest visual thing near your house? And let's see if anybody saw it. So again, the fucking skeptical guy who thinks it's all bullshit draws like this thing. And he says, like, I'm seeing a church and there's like a big statue in it. And there's like people sitting in pews. And he like draws this full fucking thing. And then they're like, okay, so this guy, where like you're from Karachi, these are coordinates of where you're at. And like, this guy hasn't even revealed what his picture is to anybody. And he says, so what is the largest thing near your house? And the guy says, there's a huge temple, like right across the street from my house. And they're like, it's like a church. And they're like, yeah, there's like a big statue in it and big windows where lights come in. And this fucking skeptical guy who doesn't fucking believe it, like has remote viewed twice under Ed Dames, supposed to like fairly accurately. And he's like, well, no, but at the second one, you could just see the look on his face. He's like, son of a bitch. Like he doesn't even like the fact that he did it.
Did they feed him images though? Cause you can feed people stuff
Well, in this one, they couldn't have, cause Ed Dames didn't even know what the biggest visual feature near this guy's house was.
Well, he said that.
But remember we talked about the mentalist guy? I can't remember that guy's name. He's like a British guy and he goes around on the street and like pays people with blank money, like buys a $5,000 watch with fucking pieces of paper that are the size of a dollar and they have nothing on them. That guy did this thing where they taxied a guy into meet him at a meeting, and they drove him past like a zoo and a bunch of stuff and some gates, and there was like these little hidden things on his way to the meeting.
Right.
And then
he was supposed to go do a pitch for like
We've talked about this on the show before.
Yeah. And so he drew the exact picture that guy drew in his envelope.
Yeah.
And he did
the logo for the zoo and a gate.
They implanted all of it just through suggestion and then got the guy to draw that whole thing. So, I mean, it could be some cool trick like that. Those guys are amazing. I mean, that guy buys fucking $5,000 watches with blank paper.
No, that it could definitely be a trick like that. And Ed Dames could just be a fucking mentalist who's fucking people over and getting money for classes.
Yeah.
But
he's telling the truth. He's like, I'm not psychic. It's just a good skill.
Right.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
It is a good skill.
Which is maybe what Ingo Swann was saying.
I don't know how you would do the coordinates thing, though. Or somehow he suggested numbers. He's like, I want you to pick longitude like this. Like somehow he's suggesting that. I don't know how they would do that.
Well, it's because church was 193.
And then like,
supposedly they were the latitude and longitude of this guy's address who was in the audience who didn't know anybody else.
But we also don't know how David Blaine fucking writes like your dead aunt's fucking name on his stomach in ash or whatever the fuck he does. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So who knows? It could still be trickery.
Another example that's in the same documentary, again, could be 100% trickery. There's a guy named Lynn Buchanan who was also a member of the Stargate team, and he's doing a class, and again, blind viewing, people from the class brought in an envelope and weren't there. Like, the people who put the thing in the envelope weren't even there, so they couldn't influence him. The envelope gets on the table, and he's showing these people how to remote view and do what he does, and he sketches out an alcove, and he says, I'm seeing an alcove that's at sea level, and then he draws something that looks like a crane holding something, and then he says that I keep seeing a lion, and he doesn't drop it. He says, I keep seeing a lion. And then when they look in the envelope, there's an article from National Geographic, and there's a bay, which looks a lot like the alcove that he drew. There's a crane that's lifting artifacts from the ocean, and there's like a big picture of a sphinx under the water that looks like a lion. So it's like, again, huckster, fake. He's lying in the fucking first place. I think we'd have to go through the
class. Like if anybody can learn it,
right? You would have to go through.
I ordered it. It's three easy payments of $19.99, but it's going to take 6 to 8 weeks of delivery. Yeah.
So I don't. I mean the fact that it keeps. I mean the fact that ARPA was interested, military intelligence is interested. I mean major groups just keep having interest in this. The CIA was interested. Like all these people keep saying, "Fuck, there's obviously something here. There's enough here that we should be investigating this and looking into it."
Well, remember the Philadelphia experiment. They tried to hire that magician because he said he could make a boat disappear.
That's true.
I mean, they're into shit. Like,
it's called desperate.
Yeah, when you do stuff like that, when David Blaine blows your mind or Chris Angel does some shit, walks across two buildings like in the air, you're like, what the fuck is he doing? Like, I don't care if it's not magic. How did he do that? We could probably use that. You know what I mean? However you're doing it, we don't know if it's magic. We just want to know how you're doing it because it's useful.
Right.
So I don't know.
I don't know either. I'm really torn on the far viewing thing because I've seen people again. They're all documentary. I mean,
how about the killing the goat thing though? Because I saw like
there was nothing about that wasn't.
But then I saw an interview with one of these guys that said that it was like involved in the project, and he was talking about staring at the goat, and then it dropped to its front legs. Like I saw a thing, and it seemed legitimate, but it was late
too. I've never come across anything from the actual Stargate remote viewing thing.
They were doing things. So like we had the Joseph Mengele episode, and he was like killing a twin and then monitoring the other twin to see like what was going on. They would do that
with kittens and shit.
They would do that with kittens and rabbits and stuff like that too. Like, because they're trying to see this ESP, like what happens in one room if the other one feels it.
That
and
was
all this
part
stuff.
Of that
so it's
project.
Like crazy.
Yeah. It was that they were taking the mother of kittens or whatever and having the mom in one room. They would watch it and they would kill the kittens in the other room
and see if the mom would react.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Mengele was just ahead of his time.
Yeah, that's right.
But yeah, they were doing the exact same thing. And this was in the 70s and 80s, you know, like, well, actually probably 70s right before this remote viewing thing. But
someone said they're doing dogs, but they felt too bad about dogs and they switched to goats.
I don't understand.
But I mean, I've
I don't read understand about, that. Like yeah, a fucking dog, cat, turtle, yeah, what the fuck's it matter? Yeah, like,
yeah. Oh, I do.
I don't
understand. I ain't killing a fucking dog. Like I'll kill a goat. I cannot kill a dog.
I don't know. Goats are fucking cool, man.
I'm sure that some government project probably was trying to do that because the from everything that I've seen, the Russian that we know of, there were as many as 40 different labs throughout the Soviet Union that were doing some kind of psychometric weird like investigations, and America was doing the same thing, testing
research,
with psychotronic research, LSD, just the like band. All this shit is stuff that everybody's looking at, and that's I mean that was something that they were trying to expanding consciousnesses, all that different stuff. I don't know. The only reason that I look at this one and think there might be something to it is because, and again, maybe it's just a bias I have about academics, but when I see so many people who have scholarly academic reputations that are on the line that are looking at this stuff and saying, no, I hate to admit it, I think there's something going on here. Like that says something then.
But
just,
I mean,
and there's a lot. There's so many of them that say, no, some fucking shit was going on here.
That's the thing though. It's like something's going on, but they can't figure it out. Like,
exactly.
There is no, it's not hard to enough. It's not just black and white. It's not
easily repeatable. No. It's not like Ingo Swann, what do you see here? And it's like, oh, it's a dog and his name is Biffy and he's licking a fucking bone. It's like, the images aren't that clear.
It's very vague.
It's very vague. And it tends to only be from all the stuff that I read.
It's almost like the information's only useful if you have information already. Yeah. So it's like, what the fuck is the point? Yeah.
You guys are saying they drew fucking dolphins jumping out of the water. That's pretty specific.
Like, yeah. And not useful.
I'm just saying it's a measurable, like,
but if you say, hey, the fucking guy's in a room and they have him fucking chained to this and fucking, yeah. The room has a lamp in it.
If you have a picture in an envelope and you draw that picture, I mean, it could have been.
Well, anything. No, I mean,
what's the use of that though?
Well, nothing. The predictability that he could see something that was there over a distance without actually like seeing it.
If it can be trained to be better, because that actually has no use.
Well, that totally has a use.
What?
You play cards in Vegas, you win a bunch of money.
Well, I mean, if you could, it would have a, I mean, if it was accurate,
or
if
Ingo lose Swann, a bunch on the one bad guess you make.
If Ingo Swann could actually do what he claimed to do, if you were some intelligence analyst and you had some grainy satellite photo that was like shitty and you were like, I have a feeling this is like, I think this might be a biological, you know, weapons facility and this might be what's in
what's
these tanks
there?
Or
there's
whatever.
A circle and a line.
Well, but no, if someone is, because they would even say more than that. They would have, like, someone might draw something that looks like a biohazard symbol, but they don't know it. And if all of a sudden you're like, fuck, I'm looking at a biohazard symbol, this guy that can supposedly remote view, like, just drew some shit that looks a lot like a biohazard symbol.
But are the terrorists really putting like biohazard signals on 50-gallon drums?
This
are
is
we doing
Soviets.
That still? Soviets, are they doing that? I don't think so.
I would say so.
I don't think so.
I think if you were in a lab, you would want to put the biohazard sign on a biohazard.
I don't think so.
I think so.
I disagree.
And I would put a radioactive sign on radioactive and a flammable sign on flammable.
They didn't give a shit about the people, though. I don't think they cared.
Russians.
I was just letting that stew.
So I don't know. I mean, if every single person involved is full of shit, there's obviously nothing to it. If Ingo Swann was just a fantastic huckster, fucking hats off. You fooled the U.S. government into spending $20 million.
Kind of. I don't know. Like,
there's a manual. What's the thing? It's the Earth Battalion or whatever. The New Earth Battalion.
Manual? Oh, yeah.
I bet it's available online.
I saw something like that. I didn't see much about it, though. And again, maybe Ed Dames on this video, maybe he knew this fucking skeptic was coming to do the documentary, so maybe he went out of his way to do shit just to get the skeptic to get hits. Like, maybe he was fucking...
I wonder
if
George Clooney had to go through like the moderate training to try to do character development. He can cloudburst now.
He went through Ingo Swann training.
He knows how to do sparkly eyes. I don't know if you saw that. That was pretty impressive.
The hell are you talking about?
Watch, ready? You see it?
No.
I'm doing it right now. You see it?
No.
I can do the death touch too. The thing about the death touch is, though, you never know when it's going to kick in.
Yeah, it could be 27 years from now.
Bitch, I got you.
You're dead though. Death touch.
No, that movie wasn't bad. I watched Many Stars Goats last night.
I was going to watch it last night.
Good.
I was going to watch it, but I just couldn't. Again, I don't pirate.
Who's the actor that played Obi-Wan Kenobi in the?
Ewan McGregor.
Yeah, he's in the movie, and George Clooney keeps calling him a Jedi. It fucking drove me crazy. I was like, stop it. He is a Jedi.
That's promoting him.
Kept saying it to him. Well, like, that's Obi-Wan.
My thing is, like, if you believe in alternate universes and you believe in, like, fucking this far-out stuff that we can't actually prove but you kind of think's there, then I guess it could be possible. I mean, you should be able to read the future. You should be able to
my simulation view. Theory thing has fucked me because I just accept everything. I'm like, it's kind of like, happen.
Yeah, it could. I mean, you know, you almost have to just keep your mind open to it, but I don't know. I just
think of it like a mod. I'm like, they got the remote view mod.
We haven't got it yet. Yeah, I haven't got the update.
My player sucks. He didn't have enough money.
Fuck, I couldn't unlock remote viewing.
My player sucks. In-app purchases are just unavailable. Yeah. Damn it.
I can only download if I'm on Wi-Fi.
My player needs to hurry up and fix my Volkswagen bus.
Yeah, he does.
Spend some more money.
I'm waiting. Until I get funds to fix my bus.
Although you should use Tron lingo and call him your user.
My user. Oh, yeah. Yes, user. I like that. Speaking of, I'm taking my bus in the morning to the mechanic, and it is getting fixed. Thank you, user. What's happening?
Wow, that was quick.
Yeah.
Fuck, you just wasted it.
An update just happened.
You could have told your user to fucking make you a millionaire by tomorrow and you went for the fucking
Same emotional outcome, sir. Same reward. The bus is getting fixed. I'm going to be fucking hippie
status.
You're going
to be fucking hippie as ever.
Yep. It's happening.
You're going to be a happy hippie.
Dropping it off. I talked to Jose the mechanic, getting it fixed. I called the Bart's Parts. I ordered all the turn signals and tail light lenses and backup light lenses. Mm-hmm. Ready to go.
On the road.
Yep. I'm going to put a soaking stick around there. Giant. It's going to get wrapped.
Nice.
Yeah. Just going to be like a Tesla universe, fucking weird ass antennas and shit on it. A big foil hat that looks like a Hershey Kiss on the front.
Oh my God.
I want to see a bobbleheaded laser pigeon that shoots lasers out of its
just
eyes.
Just on the front.
With like a powerful laser. So when it's like Bakersfield foggy, the lasers penetrate the fog.
I'm going to get a green burning laser and I'm going to put it in a taxidermied pigeon. And then I'm going to pop balloons and shit on the road. I dare you to throw a balloon out in front of me, man. I press this button right here and back up a little bit till it lines up. It's fucking gone, man. Watch. You just wait 3 or 4 seconds.
Back
till it pops.
Up a little bit. The laserinator.
That only works if you put like reverse sound effects. So like beep, beep, beep. Then you have to drive forward and back up and drive forward and
ordered
back up.
Ordered that shit yesterday, man. Yeah. I'll be here tomorrow.
So thoughts on remote viewing. Possible bullshit.
In my simulation theory, all things possible.
Yep. Yeah. With Christ.
What's your call, Brad?
It's bullshit.
You call bullshit down the line?
I don't think so.
I feel like...
I just think it's fucking whatever.
I feel like some people have some intuition of some sort, because even myself not believing in shit, I've had some weird shit happen where, you know, just little subtleties in life that they're like, how is that possible that I was thinking of this and this occurred or whatever? Like, stuff happens like that. Probably.
Well, I don't know. Like I said, I mean, like, I think, like, I really want something and I visualize it. And I can get it.
But
you know what I mean?
I'm like, also so impressed with the mentalist people that do things like
right.
get you. Like, they'll tell you the serial number off of a dollar in your fucking pocket before. Like, the weird stuff that they do, you're like, and they tell you, I promise it's not magic. I'm not an evil spirit. This is a trick. You could do this if I taught you.
Right.
And then they do it and, like, read the entire fucking, you know, 12-digit number off a dollar in your pocket.
Yeah, it's a skill. Yeah.
So I think it's probably it's a little bit of that with maybe someone that's a little more intuitive and they've honed their skill because they were intuitive, like the fucking people like Brown.
I think it's hard to visualize a fucking cave in Afghanistan though. Like, you don't know if you've never been there or seen it.
Yeah, I don't know.
You know, I don't know. Like,
well, all you can't call total bullshit.
Here's what I'm willing to go on the line for. I fully believe that Ingo Swann was able, whether he was doing it or not, to convince a whole lot of motherfuckers that he was doing some shit.
Yeah.
And whatever he was doing, he was able to train other people to do.
Right.
So if he was remote viewing, he was able to train other people to remote view.
I agree.
If he had some amazing mentalist mega scam, he was sitting down with people like Ed Dames and saying,
Look,
this is how I'm fucking with your head.
Right.
And then Ed Dames was going back out in the room and going, no, I can remote view too now.
It might be, even though it might be such a cool fucking trick. They're like, I ain't telling anybody.
He's like, I'm not telling anybody, but I'm going to act like I can do it too.
Yeah, the magician never reveals his secrets.
So, this guy was the crux of the Stargate program, Ingo Swann, and everything was about his visions and what he did, and he was able to train tons of people, and all these people go on record saying, he trained me how to do exactly what he did. All these fucking stats people are like, look, there's something to this that is more than just statistics, like something's going on, whether he's fucking seeing things in other places or whether he's an amazing mentalist.
Yeah.
He was up to fucking something, and he was able to train other people what he was doing.
The story about when I was in Vegas and I went to the magic shop and the guy, I bought a trick. Mm-mm. Did I ever say that? So I walk into this magic store in Vegas and this guy says, hey man, like the guy working behind the counter, he's like,
you gonna
buy
some cards?
He's like, let me see your license.
Was it at Caesar's?
Yeah. I have no idea.
Probably
but
a Caesar's Palace.
I handed him
what set was out at the time.
What set? What is that?
For magic.
Oh no. Magician, like magic trick. Yeah. I was like,
I know nothing about
what does that mean? No, I hand him my driver's license and he fucking takes it out of my hand and throws it into the air and it flies around the fucking room like a helicopter and lands
like,
back
what
in his
the
hand.
Fuck?
And I was like, like, what the fuck? Like how, and then he just hands it back
boomeranged?
To me.
It fucking boomeranged.
No, it was like just floating between his hands. It fucking flew around behind him, past the shit on the shelves, came back around his head and fucking lands in his hand. And he just puts it back in my hands immediately for me to examine. Like,
and you're all
that's
like,
your license, right? And I was like, what the fuck? He's like, we sell that trick. And I was like, he's like, and I'll teach you how to do it if you buy it. And I'm like, how fucking much is this?
How much is this trick, sir?
No, it was like $25. I was like, fucking done. He's like, follow me to the back room, sir. And we go to the back room.
Yeah, that was at Caesar's Palace. They have like a magic place in Caesar's.
I
want to
go there. That sounds awesome.
So I'm not going to ruin it, but mind fucking blown.
So you can do it.
I cannot do it right here, right now. But if you were prepared with the proper preparation, I could do that. And I got good at it for a little while to where I blew a couple of my friends' minds where they're like, what the fuck did you just do? How did you just do that? Like, I would just do it with my credit card. Like, I wasn't good enough to like, hey, give me your license and pull it all off real fast like that. Yeah. There's no swap. I'll say that. It's your fucking driver's license. Like, it's just amazing, like sleight of hand and skill. And just, it's amazing. I'm not going to ruin the trick. But when I walked back there and he told me bluntly how it's done. And I was like, get the fuck out of here. That is not how that's done. And then he did it. And I was like, what the fuck?
No,
like,
I did the, I had
such a simple trick.
I had the same experience. I went to Caesar's Palace. There's the little magic shop in Caesar's and like the main plaza. Yeah. Guy was doing tricks. He fucking did some trick on me. And like the trick he did was a card trick. He had a deck of cards. He had me pick a card out of the deck of cards. And then put the card back in. And like, it's hard to explain, but he was holding the deck of cards by the side.
Mm-hmm.
And then he just like flicked his fingers from like left to right, and like a card just came out super fast. And he was like, is this your card? Like, there was no way he could have
pulled it out of the middle.
Like, I shuffled it and gave it back to him. And he just, as soon as it was shuffled, he was like, you're happy. I was like, yep. He just picked it up, zook, and pulled my card right out of the deck from the side. And I was like, what the fuck? What the fuck? And then he did like a couple of other things. He was like, I'll sell it to you. And again, it was like $30.
Yeah.
He took me in back. He showed me how to do it.
They make so much money. They're like, hey, go out there and blow their mind.
I was totally satisfied. He showed me how to do it.
He gave me a towel.
I was like, oh fuck, that's how you do it.
He handed me a towel.
There's a ton of fucking simple tricks. So maybe Ingo Swann was just a badass mentalist that fooled the Pentagon.
Yeah.
You know, bigger.
We'll tell you how to podcast for $29.95.
That's right. So I don't know. If you want to look into it, look up Ed Dames. There's lots of talks by him. Look up Ingo Swann. Look up remote viewing. Interesting shit, whether it's real or not. Check it out. It's worth diving into.
Yeah, we have the podcast tutorial on our website that doesn't exist. Just don't purchase the Stay on Topic segment because it's not finished yet. We don't know how to do that.
No, we haven't figured that out yet. It's a plug-in. Yeah.
So the awkward ending, we definitely have down if you want to buy that.
We do have that down. Yeah. And we're not dead from whiskey yet.
Yeah. No.
I felt weird for a little bit, but it's probably all in my head.
It probably is in your head.
And then Brad was making dizzy faces over there and shit. Yeah.
I was making, I think because I was already feeling buzzed.
Yeah.
So I was just freaking burnt out.
I don't know if I can drink the rest of that. Are you brave enough to keep drinking that later? Like, should we gift it back?
It's not that I'm brave enough to keep drinking it. It's just that there's like floaties in there, and I'm at the point of my whiskey where if I'm drinking it, I'm drinking floaties.
We can pour through a filter.
We can do this. We can put this in a decanter that you have.
Decanter.
And give him the bottle back.
We can put this in a decanter.
The fuck?
You said it like that.
You said it.
Yeah. Hey, it's recorded. He's like,
you know, I don't bust balls on how people say things, but that was awesome how you said that.
So now to the sponsors.
But that is actually a really good idea. We'll filter it into a decanter and then I'll drink it because there won't be floaty bits.
I didn't get any floaty bits. How did you guys get them?
It was on the top when you poked
it. Oh, shit. I got floaty bits.
Yeah.
I just didn't see them. Oh, yeah,
no, I'm not too scared about drinking it, but I just don't want to drink the floaties.
Oh, man. That's like a.
I wonder if we would have like turned it over and shook it up, but there's some crazy sediment on the bottom.
Oh,
we just
maybe
took the top off.
We'll find out. We'll explore.
Well, thank
you. That's like a maggot.
Thank you, Andrew Sanders, for fucking a frightful experience. Kind of like a roller coaster, sort of.
Yeah.
I had a good
really
time.
Cool.
But
yeah. It's scary.
Left uncomfortable.
It really was. I mean, I was kind of scared.
It was kind of a thrill.
Yeah.
It was kind of a thrill.
Like, literally, I literally let Dave and Brent drink
yes,
first.
Yes, he did.
And I'm like, yeah.
I didn't even look at you. I wasn't
I just I was like, they're like, ding, ding. I set mine down and they're drinking it. And I'm like, okay, well, I'll drink it.
I evolved. I learned. I lived through that trick, so I'm watching you next time.
Yeah, that's right.
All right.
No, legit as hell. Thank you, Andrew Sanders. That was a unique life experience.
Yeah.
Yeah, bastard. One of our fans, I won't be able to get his name fast enough, posted a picture of, he was on a cruise. Is it right here? Found it. Bam. He's on a cruise right now, and they have El Yucateco hot sauce on his table.
Yeah.
So he's
nice. Yeah. I do have to say, if you're wearing a shirt or you have a koozie or stickers, take cool photos, because there's been a few of them that we've been tagged in that I'm like, I'm using that for the store. Like,
yeah,
once
man.
We get the store up, like, right, they're fucking yeah. legit photos.
Yeah.
And they look really, really good.
That guy that, that koozie
yeah,
one.
Well, keep talking and I'll find it.
Yeah. Doug
From
Warner.
Seattle.
Yeah. Doug Warner, DW6245 on Instagram, is the guy on the cruise with the Yucateco right now. So there's your shout out. I think he also told me to stab a bitch a little while ago.
Yeah.
There's lots of knives on his thing. If that wasn't you, I don't know. I'm associating it with you. But thank you to El Yucateco Hot Sauce while Brad's looking for that shout out.
It's double N double F is out of Seattle. Instagram photo with our koozies like on a lake or something. Fucking awesome.
Yeah,
like
awesome
it's a legit photo.
Yeah.
Looks good.
Looks
he's
like
looking he's
photo,
looking fucking
yeah.
suave on it. Yeah, we're gonna put it up for sure.
Suave.
So yeah, I mean that, you take cool photos like that, and you'll be
we'll use them.
Memorialized forever. Also, yes.
Whoa, what was that word?
What? Memorialized?
Oh, okay. I thought, I don't know. Like,
I get the fuck off my back.
I think it's an orialized. I was like, yeah. an oral somehow is an orialized? I don't know. You make up words sometimes.
I do make up words on purpose, but that one was not made up.
So thank you to El Yucateco Hot Sauce. You can log into their website, buy gear, hot sauce. They're available in most major grocery stores and cool little markets if you want to feel special about buying it where you think no one else can find it. If you buy something on their website, you can save 10% by using code SOFAKING. Thank you to PrintDirtCheap.com. If you guys need stickers, flyers, banners, anything, they probably make it. And you can also get a discount by using code SOFAKING on their website. Digital Creations for all of our goodies. Thank you to Salt 7 Float Center. Thank you to Dan Camarillo Jiu Jitsu, armhunter.com.
I think we missed that one last episode.
Nope, I said it for sure. Yeah,
I wasn't listening.
And I feel like I'm forgetting someone though. Every time I feel like I'm fucking forgetting someone. You know why?
You probably are.
Because I have a fucking horrible memory and I have a condition. I really should go to the doctor.
So that's great.
I constantly feel like I forgot.
That's why I love doing it.
Yeah.
It's very good.
Am I forgetting someone though?
Probably.
I really feel like this time I am.
I think
am. And I did forget someone last time. Dark Side Graphics. I forgot to say thank you last time, Punky Brewster.
Punky Brewster.
Yeah, I owe him an extra thank you. Yeah. An extra Punky Brewster. Punky Brewster times two.
Punky Brewster, we dedicate the next couple of awkward minutes as the show staggers to a stop.
Yes.
In your honor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, while we're quiet, you're making iron-on cock pictures for pillowcases
yeah.
somewhere. Mm-hmm. Ready
so in the world.
Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. There you go. That was for you, Punky Brewster.
Okay.
All right.
I just farted. Don't be a retard.
It was 95 to the Trinity. Chicken from Kennedy's. And we smoking, toking, poking, heard preaching spoken word that just might poke your nerves. Hope you ain't scared. My Jeep goes skirt. I peep the obscured of what ain't normally easy to observe. I swear I'm born abnormally absurd. If I give you a peace of mind, you've been disorderly disturbed. That's my word flip. Similes and verbs. Now I'm eating, retreating for seconds and thirds. Y'all niggas seasoned.
Oh, you salt.
Don't worry what we ate. You don't want that plate. I combine yours with mine quick and make the earth shake. Supernatural disaster on you half-assed rappers. Pastor heard to an actual pastor. Word to the blacklist bastard. I drop knowledge like a 5%er. Every time I drop a line, it touch like 5%ers. Schooner your offspring. Drop heat all spring and stay hot for 5 November. So I think y'all niggas lost me. 9-5 till infinity time. We in disguise beyond enemy line. Women with no identity signs. They can't get my line. Used to give a fuck you could find. 9-5 till infinity time. We in disguise beyond enemy line. And I just kill it every time. Instead of lead slugs, I spread the love like a bed buggable does. I'm in the W, what your lovable slut. I'm in the wars while you bugging it up. I do your girl like this beat straight fucking it up. Y'all niggas nothing to us, this feels like nothing to us, son. Torture daughter, how to bust a nut for fun.
recollect and collect the funds. When she see the sun, spit the proceeds when night come. 99 till infinity beyond. On my peaceful of energy till enemies be gone. Until the niggas in my vicinity gone. Beep the melody we on, but they don't know the remedy to these songs. Basic necessities on how to be put on. Cause they see my team we strong. Peace go say you'll be John. If you get dropped, you can't be John. They wanna know who showed them we need it all. But all we do is show them who we leading on. 9-5 till infinity time. I'm in disguise behind enemy lines. And I just kill every time. Yeah. 9-5 till infinity time. We in disguise behind enemy lines. Women with no identity sign. They can't get my lines. Used to give a fuck you can find. Cause they will never stop for a young black male. Blackmailed in braille, that means what he felt. And the very reveal could appeal. Put you on the Alcatraz trail, no railroad to hell. Oh well, some of us is torture as hell. The other source is lost and all source of wealth. Lucifer evil, the highest stars, evil Knievel. I see through people's door, the world may never know how my third pupil show. Incognito, incognito slow. And I don't throw subs, I throw torpedoes. The dog not Cheeto, this dog got a Cornelius fro. Afro punk festivities, this for my niggas that's lying with queens like Nefertiti. Waking up to pyramids and big kitties. Go so theory, but what is life really? 9-5 till infinity time. We in disguise behind enemy lines. Women with no identity signs. They can't get my line. I used to give a fuck you could find. 9-5 till infinity time. We in disguise behind enemy lines. I just kill it every time.